Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Lord of hosts is with us. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though its waters roar and foam, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. The Lord of hosts is with us. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth.
He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The first reading for the festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. What is the point of the law? Many people would fall into the trap of thinking that the point of the law is to tell us how to be saved. But that's not quite Right. Paul spells it out pretty clearly for us here. The law speaks to those who are under the law, which is everyone, by the way, so that every mouth may be stopped. The point of the law, or at least the primary purpose of the law, is to show that not a single one of us has the right to speak in the presence of God by our own merit. The point of the law is to make sure that the whole world could be held accountable to God. In other words, God specifically made it so hard that it was not possible for us to do because we're sinful. The entire point was for us to recognize how far we had fallen. For God to give us instructions that we theoretically could have followed. And if we had been able to follow them, then they actually would have saved us. But we can't. And Paul makes it clear that by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his, that is God's, sight. Because, since, through the law comes knowledge of sin. The point of the law, the point of the Ten Commandments, is to show us our sin. To show us that we can't do it. Which is why it's a problem when people try to take the law and say, well, if you just do this, then you'll be saved. Because we can't just do that. Even if you just try to limit it down to the Ten Commandments, we can't do it. Even if you think you followed all of the other commandments, you have not put your fear, trust, and love in God above all things. There have been times when you doubted God. There have been times when you thought you knew better than God did. And we know this because there have been times that you have sinned. There have been times when you have done wrong. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, if you look at the law of God, and you try to find all of the places where you did right, well, that's fine and good, but recognize that those places where you did good, those places where you did right, do not outweigh the times when you've done evil. That's not how this works. Even if you did everything else right, but you only broke one commandment one time, that shows that you're a sinner. That means that you failed. This is not about trying to weigh out the good and evil in your life. This is about the fact that there is evil in your life and that there is evil in you. And that stops you from being saved by your own merit. So then, if we can't do it ourselves, if we can't justify ourselves, how are we justified? And maybe we should do a couple of definitions before we jump into this, because Paul uses some kind of specific language here. And I think it's important for us to know what these are. And the very first one is justification. What does it mean to be justified? Well, if you look it up on the Googles, which I did just to see what it said, and it actually had a fairly good answer. The action of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. In other words, to be justified means that God looks at you and is pleased. He looks at you and you are righteous. Which is the next thing we should probably define. What does it mean to be righteous? And this one's actually fairly easy. Being righteous simply means being right in the eyes of God. In other words, God looks at you and he says, that right there is one of my faithful servants. That right there is one of my beloved sons and daughters. That's what it means to be righteous. And of course, the only way that we get that righteousness is by grace, which is our third thing that we should define. Grace is simply undeserved favor. You've probably heard it also with the acronym God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's a good one too. The way that I kind of try to talk about this is that grace is the attitude that God has toward you. He is gracious toward you. He is generous toward you. He is forgiving toward you. And not because you earned it, but because that's simply who he is. And then last one, propitiation. This simply means gaining the favor of someone. So this kind of is when you earn a good attitude towards someone. This is when your boss is happy with you because you're a hard worker. You got the propitiation for that. You earned that. So then, coming back to my question, how, if we cannot be saved through the law, if we cannot be justified through the law, how do we get justified? How does it happen? And Paul tells us, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Though, he takes a second to point out, the law and the prophets bear witness about it. That is to say, the law and the prophets is the Old Testament. So Paul is saying that the Old Testament shows us that righteousness comes by faith. And actually, the book of Hebrews is a great place to look for that truth, because it will point out where people are justified by faith, where they're counted as righteous because of their faith and not because of what they're doing. So then, we get the righteousness of God not through our following of the law, not through our successfully doing the Ten Commandments, but instead, we get the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and this is for all who believe. The righteousness of God is not something we earn. It is a gift that was earned for us by Christ when he died on the cross, and a gift that is delivered to us that we receive through faith, which in itself is a gift of God, which is why this is for all who believe. We then get one of the clearest distinctions, or the clearest statements about this. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm sure you've all heard that before. I'm sure that you have heard that in sermons and Bible studies and all that kind of stuff, because it is a great and important summary of the law. That's basically what the law tells us. That everyone, every single human being has sinned. And because of that, every single one of us falls short of the standard that God set for us. But don't forget the next verse as well. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. I almost wish that I could sort of import a word here, and you got to not do that. But I almost wish that they all had been transported back to, so that it said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace as a gift. That is what it means. Recognize the truth of what Jesus did. When he died on the cross, he earned the righteousness, he earned the forgiveness of sins for literally every single human being that would ever exist, including the unbelievers. There is not a limit to the amount of grace that God has. There is not some sort of accounting system up in heaven about how much forgiveness God can hand out. Christ earned it all. Jesus, when he died, earned forgiveness for everyone. There is no limit to the salvation and forgiveness and life of our Lord. This is why Jesus came. This is the redemption that he earned. And if you want to talk about that propitiation word, if you want to talk about, well, who did actually earn the favor of God, that person is Christ. Jesus, when he died on the cross, earned our forgiveness. He earned the favor that he shares with us. And he did it by his death. He did it by the shedding of his own blood. And he did it so that we could be justified, so that we could be righteous, not through our works, but through his works. So that we simply trust in what Jesus has done on the cross. And God did all of this in order to show his righteousness. God did all of this in order to prove to us how good he is. How far he is willing to go for you. In his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. In other words, he was patient. He was patient and he didn't destroy the world as early as he could have. He didn't destroy everyone, even though everyone deserved to be destroyed. Even though God would have been completely right and completely just to have actually killed everyone in the flood. He didn't. He saved Noah and his family. And he did it to prove to the world, to prove to us, that he cares about us. That he's faithful, that he's loyal, that he follows through on his promises. He did it to show that he truly is just, and that he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Our righteousness, our justification, our redemption, it all comes from Jesus. And that it is all delivered to us through faith and nothing more. So then, what are we supposed to boast about? What are we supposed to brag about? Nothing. At least nothing about us. We aren't supposed to brag about anything as far as we're concerned. If you want to brag about something, feel free to brag about what your Lord has done for you. But we do not boast about our works. We only boast about what Christ has done for us. As part of what this means, our boasting is excluded because it only comes down to faith. And recognize part of what this means. We are not supposed to brag about our faith in the sense like it's something that we've done. You can brag about your faith, but only in the sense as it's something that God has done in your life, as it's the gift that God has given you. This is part of what this means, that we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. And you know, if you wanted to kind of pick one Bible verse that really kind of sums up why the Reformation happened, that Bible verse is it. It's because Martin Luther rediscovered the truth that we are justified by faith, that it's not about what we do. It's about what Christ has done. So then, where does our righteousness come from? Where does our justification come from? Does it come from our works? No, it can't. We failed. It comes from the work of Christ. How then do we receive it? How do we receive the forgiveness, the life, and the salvation that was earned for us 2,000 years ago? How does God choose to deliver those benefits, those blessings to us? We receive it by faith. We receive it simply by trusting the word that we have heard, trusting the promises of God, trusting that God told us that it happened and what it means, that we are saved. This trust, this faith, like I said, is not us. It is itself a gift from God. And it is from this righteousness, through this faith, that all good things come. This is where we receive the knowledge of truth. When you hear the word of God and you believe it, you are saved in that moment. When you come and you receive the very body and blood of your Lord and you hear that this is my body, this is my blood, the words of Jesus, and you believe it, and you receive the bread and the wine, you receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. When you wake up every single day and you remember the promise that God gave you in your baptism, that you are washed clean, that you are forgiven, that righteousness is yours, you can go into your life confident in the truth that you are being sanctified, you are being made holy, and that by the grace of God, you can live your life and serve those around you in good works. Good works that don't save you, but good works that share the love that God has shared with you. You are free to trust in this truth. This is what the truth does. The truth sets us free. The truth that you don't have to do good works because it saves you, but that you are saved because of the good work of Christ. Trust in Him. Trust in that truth. For He is faithful and true, and He proved it when He died for you, and He proved that He was speaking the truth when He rose for you. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.